Because a lot of seafarers, it's their life. Being at sea is their life.
Right.
They have no life outside of the sea. And when they go home, they don't have any friends because it's very hard to make friends when you're spending half your life at sea or more than half your life at sea. It's very hard to make friends. And we really must think about, a support network and an opportunity for people to make friends. Because
So does
when they're
that mean
ashore,
like,
when they're ashore, that's when they kill themselves.
so would that look like more rotations, more time to be able to be at home or wherever they're choosing to be inland so they can create some sort of stability,
I'd say,
ashore?
to be fair though, I'd say give them some fucking work to do. Give them some fucking work. Because if you think when I was in the North Sea, I worked 1 month on, 1 month off. The first week of my month off was lovely. It was, lovely. But by the end of it, I was getting bored. If you gave me some work to do, even if it was like 4 hours a day. Life would have been so much more interesting. It's a really weird thing where, when you sell it to someone and say, you can work 6 months of the year. Amazing. Amazing. How cool is that? But actually the reality of that is pretty hard.
So, but I just wonder, because in the yachting industry specifically, now with bigger vessels, 80 plus meters, there's a little bit more of the opportunity to rotate, 3 months on, 1 month off kind of thing. And on for the most part, it's only head of departments. But the reality of many seafarers within the yachting industry is that they don't rotate and they don't go home until after 1 year they get a month off. Like
They
I was at sea
shouldn't
for
be. They shouldn't be having that.
exactly, but this is like legal.
I know.
So I think this is, from what I'm hearing from I think part of that action plan of one, I definitely agree that you have to look at who is your shore support because a lot of the yachting vessels shore support means brokers, managers, owners. So really as a master, looking into what that looks like and how can that be improved, and then moving into creating that environment within the boat that this is a family. Because when you have that environment, you feel like you can trust each other and then you are able to speak up and ask for help, right? And all this stuff. And then obviously looking at the reality that if you are isolating somebody for 13 fucking months, something's gonna go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, hello. So you really bringing as a master that to the owner, you know?
Equally, I say 30 a 13-month trip, right? We say that's evil. It's horrible.
Well, I
Because
mean, I
honestly,
did that. Like my first permanent job that I was there for 4 years, we were at anchor for 2 years, for two fucking years, and I couldn't get off the boat for 13 months after, the first year. And it was like madness. Everybody was fucking each other. It was just like crazy shit happening. And then you realize, well, of course this shit's gonna happen because you're isolating people. Like, it's gonna happen, you know?
isolating people is never a good idea.
Exactly, but it
It's
seems to be
never
the
a good
norm within the industry. It seems to be like you have to be tough. This is what you're paid to do, you know? It's like, well, if you actually want work performance to be at the highest and you want people to stick around in your program, you gotta give them time off, you know? And I mean, and 1 day off a week is
You
not
should have
time off,
happened.
you know?
Listen, you should have had me as your captain, all right? Because I'm just super cool.
So, I
I'm
mean,
just like I'm just like the most super cool captain ever because I'm so lazy.
well, we love you because you're definitely not micromanaging. So, no,
No,
yeah.
I never did that. But you know, I was sacked from a company years ago, and the only reason I was sacked was because we had a party on my boat, and all the other captains and crew came on my boat, and it was like a little fleet, and it all got nasty. I didn't really want the job. The other guys needed it, and I was like, "Oh, I'll take the rap. Okay, you know, why not?" There is this like this idea that you know, the crew on a vessel, you know, they're supposed to be like saying their prayers at night. And they never drink, and they never party, and they never socialize, and all sort of thing. And it's like, well, they do, and we need to. It's very strange. It's very strange, and the expectations on the paid crew are, you know, they're not normal. They're not normal. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, I was talking to, you know, I talked to a, what do you call it?
Wine.
a lawyer, sorry, a super, yeah, lawyer. And, you know, he basically broke it down to me, and he said, Marien, you know, it sucks, but within the maritime industry, seafarer rights are for those who can afford it, period. Like, there's no such things as rights because, you know, like you, it happened to you where you were like, oh, well, the company hired me in Antigua and all this shit happened. And then obviously all of a sudden you got sacked and nobody wanted to take responsibility and jurisdiction was like all over the place. And that's what happens a lot in the maritime industry, that, you know, you have the port state, you have the state flag, you have, you know, the country where you're in, the country where the boat's hanging out, or maybe you're in the middle of the fucking sea and there's like literally nobody wants to say, this is my part of the sea, you know? And it becomes so gray, you know, and blurry that brings a space for nobody to take responsibility for the seafarers, you know, so many ways, you know, whether that be that you got raped and nobody was, you know, no action was taken because nobody wanted to get your, you know, wanted to take jurisdiction, or you got sacked, like you said, you know, something happened to you and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're fucked, you know, like, it's just, I don't know.
Listen, I totally hear you. And, you know, I know of stewardesses that were raped. And I heard the stories. And they were sacked because apparently they had their periods were too heavy.
What do you mean their period?
Their period was too heavy, and therefore they didn't fit the vessel.
Like the menstruation was too heavy.
They blobbed too much, and therefore they couldn't be on the boat. They were raped. And, you know, but I've seen it. And I've altered vessels, super yachts as well. You know, I just read these things. I think, what the fuck are you on about? You know, the excuses for getting rid of women from super yachts are preposterous. And you know, I think to be fair, it's going to be one of the biggest scandals in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the Netflix movie already happening in a few years.
Oh yeah, I know.
They just need the story.
Jeffrey Epstein was one.
Yeah.
One of the great global perverts. And Monaco yacht show or boat show is, you know, it's kind of like a, oh, Jesus, it's kind of, I'm probably going to lose business here, but it's basically a boat show for perverts, isn't it?
A lot of people would agree with that, I would say, because I have heard massive, crazy stories. Yeah. So, you know, there's different sides of everything, obviously, you know, for all of you that are crying over there and, you know, having a fit because you thinking that we're throwing, you know, the yachting industry into the ground. It's not, you know, it has a lot of things that are positive, but there's also a reality of it that somebody needs to talk about, you know, and that's what we're doing.
The yachting industry is, to be fair, the yachting industry is, I think, one of the most beautiful and wholesome and brilliant things in the world.
I think, to be honest, you said something, I don't know if it was now or before, but you said, you know, the yachting industry is about pleasure, you know, yeah. It's about sex is what you said. And I said, and when you said sex, it brought me into like, yeah, the yachting industry is about pleasure. Look at the vessels, you know, they're like beautiful, they're, you know, vibrant, you know, they give pleasure in all sorts of ways. And it is a playground for that. But what they kind of forgotten is that there are rules to every playground. You know, it's not a free for all. You're working with human lives. You know what I mean? And I remember the lawyer that I was talking about, he said to me, you know, when they were trying to implement the rights, the UN owners, builders, brokers, everybody in the same room. And they basically said, no, we don't want this because there's going to be no more fun. And it's like, holy fuck. Like, you want, like, if raping somebody's fun for you, bro, you got issues. You know what I mean? Like, you can have fun, but you have to have some sort of gauge, you know, into what's right and what's not, you know? And, you know, we have talked about sex trafficking and yachting. It's one of the places where human and sex trafficking is very alive, you know? We want to pretend it's not, but news, motherfucker, it is, you know? So it's like, there is so many things happening within the industry that we just want to, like, have a blind eye for whatever fucking reason, I don't know, really, because it's not like you're making more money for, like, being blind to it. And if you are, well, at least you're making something.
Yeah, but I think with yachting, I think you have to think about yachting and super yachting. In yachting, when I was a young boy, I'm a 100% self-proclaimed poof, and I'm very proud of it. But when I was 16, you know, I was being approached by people with boats saying, oh, come sailing with me. I never did, but I know people that did, and they were abused. There's no shadow of doubt to that. The school that I went to, you know, there are teachers, my tutor, is currently in prison for abusing children. And, you know, our passion, which is going to sea, involves isolation. And isolation encourages people that are, frankly, vile. They're perverts. And we always need to be careful of that because we always be aware of the fact that, you know, our passion attracts perverts. and the super yachting industry and the, you know, the general sort of public industry of yachting, we need to be very aware of that and make sure we're very careful of how we look after each other. Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, those sorts of abuses that happen, that I think we've kind of accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, like stewardesses and what have you, we kind of accept the fact that they are employed to be pretty much naked and good looking and, you know, it's sexualized.
Yeah. And that's the key, that it has been accepted. It has been taken as like, this is yachting, like this is the norm. I was like, no, it's not. We have created that to be the norm. Move
away from that.
But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but we need to move away from that radically and rapidly.
Yeah. And I truly think we are, because if not, we wouldn't be having this conversation, you know? I feel like the more we talk about it, the more we bring awareness around it, the more people are like, something, you know, opens up in them and they're like, oh, wait, like, where's my moral fucking compass, you know? It's like, oh, shit, I'm not aligned, you know?
I don't think you'd find many people in the yachting industry that would talk quite like I am, because I don't care. You know, I literally don't care. You know, I've got no interest in it at all. You know, it's something that scares me. The fact that the yachting industry is so sexualized, and it is, you know, you don't see old, ugly people on yachts, right? And that's the big test. You know, once I see an old, ugly person on a super yacht, then I'll happy say that I'm, you know, been proven wrong. But I ain't seen one yet. I don't know. It's an exciting industry to see it growing, but it's also very, very disappointing in the way that it's carrying on with this sexualization.
But I think, I think the key that I never really even thought about is to look not only within the vessel, but looking on the shore, because that's where it all starts, you know? And always, I think that's really important. And
the link between the ship and the shore is critical.
Yeah, that's like a missing key that definitely within the yachting industry is missing, that link, and that, because all this crazy stuff that happens on board most of the time are being okay by the shore people. So when the crew member come to shore, they don't have the support they need because these people are actually behind it, you know?
Exactly.
And this is crazy. Michael,
my goodness, what a conversation we've had. I never expected to have this conversation.
Well, let's shift a little bit and let's talk about some real shit here. So tell me about how can we clean our behinds with the new, well, not new because you've been around for a while, toilet paper that you have, and what brought doing toilet papers to your life?
Well, who knows? It was how long have we been talking?
I don't know, but let's keep talking.
Oh Christ, let's go for it. So I make bog roll. Very exciting. But no, we kind of reinvented it. So we make great toilet paper that doesn't block things up. That's it.
And God knows that we definitely need that on board.
Yeah, but it, you know, it just doesn't block things up. It's super simple.
Is it because it has like one ply, or what's like Because a lot of
No,
people.
God, no, it's strong. No, it's two ply. Hang on, I've got, sorry, I'm literally, I actually can't, I can't break it.
So I know that you said that one of the. So there is already toilet paper out there that says for RVs and boats and whatever. What's the difference between those
They've
and
gone
yours?
the easy option, right? So I'm now covering my dining room in toilet paper. So, right. So this is tanky, right? And we'll do the thing. So tanky, can you hear it?
Okay.
Strong. Not strong. So it's strong in the direction of use, has no strength in the direction it's never used. So you would not wipe your bottom or your front bottom side to side.
Right.
You always like in the direction it comes out.
Yeah.
I hope. If you don't, weird. And it contains no glue. So toilet paper contains glue. And so we're taking the glue out, so it protects your jab to go toilet, it protects your Saniflow, your whatever. But if you've got non-conventional toilets, it's fine. But it is literally, it's as strong as normal paper. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, normal toilet paper, you probably wouldn't be able to see this with. There we go, it's broken. If you need anything stronger than that, well, frankly, you've got a problem.
So the good thing about this toilet about Tanky is that it's not only strong, but it also is made for, to not block
It's a
specific.
yacht, caravans,
Right.
camping
But the
things,
difference
also.
is that it doesn't have glue like the other brands, because there are other brands that already are meant for RVs and boats and whatever. But the difference here is the glue, right?
Yeah, they do it with single ply. So they kind of lie really and say, oh, we've got loads more loo roll. They do it single ply, it's and you get something. My colleague Mark calls them brown ballerinas. Like your finger go, ooh. Yeah, horrible. Absolutely horrible. But they're just really thin. We've made something that does the same thing, but with being as thick as normal loo roll, which is cool for yachts because I've been involved in boats for years, and toilet paper does cause lots of problems. So
Yeah.
yeah.
And it also, talking about the glue and how we basically, when we use regular toilet paper, we're dumping basically all this plastic and all this
All the
nasty
glue, yeah. In the UK,
on the ocean.
we dump 22,000 tons of glue
Right.
into the sea for no reason. We don't need it.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. One cruise ship dumps 150 tons of glue
Crazy.
in
So,
a year.
guys, stewardesses, get Tanky. Can they get them online? Is it available online? Can they?
Tanky.co.uk.
There you go. The link is down below the video. So, get your toilet paper from Tanky. Awesome. So, this is a wrap for now, but we'll definitely have you back on the show because there's definitely more I want to explore with you. So yeah, is there anything else you want to say to the viewers, to the yachting community? Is there any advice or anything you want to share before we wrap it up?
My advice is the season is starting soon, okay? So please look out for frayed ropes.
For what?
Frayed ropes, frayed lines.
Oh, there you go.
Right? Because
Important.
is important because you might get in some sticky stuff. But look out for your frayed ropes. So, get your lines sorted out because you probably haven't used them for about a year.
Well, you'll be surprised. Yachts have been crazy used because, you know, people with money, they just want to isolate themselves.
But yachting should be, you know, the most socially distant thing ever. There should be no issue, but the marinas have just closed.
Mm.
And, you know, how wrong is that?
Yeah.
How wrong is that? I'm sure they're still taking the money.
Probably. I mean, that's business, right? Or how they do
it. I've got my stripy top on, so there we are. Super nice to see you, darling.
Same. So, guys, if you want to actually make a difference for the ocean, for your butts, and for...
Hanky.co.uk.
Find it on the link below. And that's it. Well, thank you, Matt, for being here today with us and sharing all sorts of awesomeness with us. And and just getting real and raw and just, you know, saying it how it is, I guess. So thank you. Bye, guys. Until next time.